species lurking, threat high.
It's a cat, not Hannibal Lecter.
Hi there, and welcome to Baseball by Design. I am sportslogos.net minor league baseball correspondent Paul Caputo, broadcasting live, as always, from the Sunday Helmet Hall of Fame in my basement in Fort Collins, Colorado. We're going to be talking about the Sacramento River Cats, the AAA Sacramento River Cats, who play in a beautiful part of the country, in a beautiful ballpark, with a handful of awesome, awesome logos. So I'm joined by, speaking of handful, a handful of representatives from the teams. So I am going to let you guys introduce yourselves when we get going here.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Greg Coletti, I'm the Vice President of Corporate Sponsorships, going into my 16th season here at Sutter Health Park with the River Cats. Glad to join up with you.
I'm Jake Ward. I'm the Communications Coordinator. I'm going on my second season, and just want to echo what Greg said. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, and I'm Justin Wiltron, Graphic Designer here at the River Cats, going on my second season as well. And just like Jake and Coletti said, big fan. So very happy to be here right now.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys very much for being here. I appreciate the group conversation. I love this. This is a little different from the normal format for Baseball by Design. Greg, I'm going to start with you because you've got the longest tenure there. Obviously, the name of the team precedes your tenure with the team, but I'm curious to know, why is the team called the River Cats? What does River Cats mean to Sacramento, California?
Well, we obviously have two big rivers that go through here in Sacramento. Jake actually has the best background for you because he was the one that had a chance to talk to some of our marketing professionals and merchandise person. So Jake, you can kind of finish that off for us and see how well you do.
Yeah, I will give it a shot. The river part of the name is fairly obvious. We're located right on the bank of the Sacramento River. The Cats were just one of the sort of names that kept coming up back when we ran a survey through Good Day Sacramento to name the team. There were many different names, and one name that was submitted over a total of 80 times was River Cats. Now, we're not necessarily the cat capital of the world, but if you come to our park, it's not out of the question, or it's somewhat likely that you may see a cat roaming through the stadium or around the stadium. So there is a cat population around here, many that live sort of around the banks of the river. But it was one that just kept coming up and was one that was unique enough to the area, and the committee at the time really liked it. And that was what we ended up going with.
Awesome. Well, you've got this color palette of this, like this maroon and this gray and this really sort of forward moving logo, this, you know, really slick looking cat who's pretty menacing looking. Justin, I'm going to turn to you on this one since you do the work with the graphic design on the team. This is a serious brand. It's kind of a menacing animal. It's not like a cartoony, like kid friendly cat. What is, you know, your responsibility as the designer and the keeper of this visual identity in a very silly minor league baseball landscape these days? How do you take like a really serious approach to branding with this team?
Well, one of our biggest mottos here is family friendly fun. So we do kind of push for that little bit of the wacky, a little bit of trying to get the kids to come along with their parents, and everybody's all happy at the end of the day. So it's kind of tough sometimes because at the end of the day, we are called the River Cats, and that's not very much a Yankees and it's not very much a Giants or a Raiders name, but we still, I think, have it, the brand that is at a place right now where it's very, very respectable, very nice, very clean. I think just maintaining that very steady line of being maybe a little fun and maybe a little professional at the same time kind of has us in a good spot.
I can add to that a little bit too. So that name's obviously carried over to our mascot Dinger, who is a cat, as you might have guessed. It was interesting. I came from the agency side in sports marketing and came over to the team side and never really understood the value of a mascot until I started working here and the brand. And it's we're a AAA affiliate of the Giants, so we see a lot of players come and go, whether they're getting promoted to the Giants team or they're getting sent down to Double A, Single A. But the one thing that we always have is our mascot. It's our River Cats name and Dinger. And it's pretty interesting watching all the adults kind of magnetized towards Dinger and of course the kids. So whether you're an adult or a child, I mean, that mascot's really important for us. It's something we can market around as well. a lot of our partnerships have, you know, dinger or mascot visits in some of their in their proposals. So it's something that I didn't know until I came over to work for the team side how important a mascot and the name is in AAA baseball.
Yeah, for sure. Well, especially this team name, which has been around since 2000, which is, you know,
yep,
kind of an eternity right now in minor league baseball. I know you have some alternate identities, and we're going to get into those. But in terms of really focusing on one identity that has been around now for a quarter century, and the minor league baseball landscape has changed quite a bit, do you guys ever talk about the possibility of a different name? Because that's not uncommon in minor league baseball.
Yeah, I know Jake's got some information on that too. One thing I'll say, since I'm on the sponsorship side, is, you know, we've worked real hard on the consistency of our brand. We've got research that shows us in our marketplace that, you know, we have a 98% recognition number with our fan base. And that's something you just don't want to, if you're going to change a logo or change a team name, when you have that brand recognition in the marketplace, that's real tough to do. You know, if you look on our billboards or when we do some marketing and advertising, it's less about the RiverCats name because it's so recognizable, and more about ticket plans and call to actions here to Sutter Health Park with special events. So that factored into that, you know, idea of possibly, you know, and it comes up once in a while of, do we change it? Do we change everything around? But, you know, like you said, we've been here a quarter century and it's worked for us. And it's something that it's almost like, you know, it's like asking the Dallas Cowboys to change the star. You know, everyone knows the star. Well, in our market, everyone knows the RiverCat logo.
I'd be fine with the Cowboys changing the star. Me too, actually. I don't care what the Cowboys do. Like, just ship them off into the ocean, whatever. Yeah,
right.
Fine by me.
There you go. All right. So I'm going to let you guys decide who fields this question, because Jake, I know that you are a fan of the San Francisco Giants. Greg, you were there when the affiliation change happened.
Yep.
It was a pretty big deal when the RiverCats changed affiliations from Oakland to San Francisco. That is not always a big deal. You know, a lot of minor league teams go through affiliation changes, and it's not really, you know, an earth-shaking thing. How did that change? How did that affiliation change alter your approach to branding the team itself?
Yeah, it was interesting when that came up, I believe right around 2015. So we were like 15 years with the A's, and, you know, we had built a fan base. We had a lot of A's fans in the market. When there were teams in the Pacific Coast League that also came up for renewal. Back then, it was a 1 to 2 year deal renewal with your parent club. It was very easy to do. You know, they didn't want money exchanging hands. It was just sign this form and you re-up. And that was normal. It did come down to a point where both the Giants and the A's were up for renewal with their AAA teams, the Giants being in Fresno at that time, and obviously us with the A's up here in Sacramento. We did market research, and, you know, in fact, it was really interesting. USA Today actually had an article that came out that same year kind of showing a heat chart of all of the United States, and kind of it was color-coded with where those fans are coming from. And we were all orange. I mean, the Junior Giants program is huge here in Sacramento. We caught lightning in a bottle as well. If you remember, the Giants had won 3 championships in 5 years at that time. And so it made sense from a business standpoint to do that. Yes, there were certain fans that were out there that were here, huge A's fans that, you know, said, we're never coming to a game again. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're a community asset for Sacramento. So if you like baseball, you know, you'll come out here to Sutter Health Park. We feel that we're affordable. It's almost like a staycation. You know, you're not paying $50 to park out here. It made sense from a business standpoint. We saw a direct uptick in attendance the first couple of years. We did that as well. And the one thing that keeps climbing every year was our per caps for food and beverage and merchandise. And that's, you know, the price per head on what fans were buying into the ballpark. They were buying the brand. And it's a very loyal fan base out here in Sacramento with the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, we made the move and we haven't looked back since. It's been a great move for us. And we've tried to enhance the product every year during that affiliation switch.
And I think on the design front too, like having that affiliation change really opened up the door for so many more possibilities that we could kind of do that askew to our own brand. So we kind of opened up and did our own Orange Fridays, just like to mirror the Giants, how they wear orange on Friday. And we created our own in-house Sacktown brand complete with orange jerseys, gray and orange hats. And those were an immediate hit as soon as they came up, and they're still popular to this day. So I think having that switch, while it was tough to kind of say bye to one group of fans, at the same time, it kind of opened up our creativity to do a little bit more to kind of reflect our parent club.
Justin, you touched on the Sactown brand. That's obviously very different from the Rivercats brand. It's got a different color palette, different type. As with most minor league baseball alternate brands, you know, it's a completely separate identity. I'm curious to know, I mean, that's been around for a few years now. How big a deal is that? How big a factor is that in the work that you're doing with the team now in terms of the visual communications?
I think it's pretty big because you see how much it really touches the community and the fan base. There are so many people that walk through our doors that come in wearing orange, whether it's Friday or not. So it's a really big hit here, and it's something that we try to convey every now and then. We'll still staying true to our own brand too, because we don't want to ditch the red and the black anytime soon. But any little bit of chance that we get to kind of give a shout out to our parent club, to kind of put that orange in there just to reflect what people like to see, we definitely go for it, and it's usually a pretty big hit.
Am I recalling right that identity has the Golden Gate Bridge in it?
It has the Golden Gate Bridge and the Tower Bridge. So one connects to the other on the logo.
Okay. Oh, that's very clever. Okay. So the Tower Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge connect, and it says Sactown on it. So obviously connections between the two cities. It's about, I mean, I know traffic is a thing, right? But about an hour and a half from Sacramento to San Francisco. Is that right?
Give or take. Yeah.
Okay, and depending on the I've made that drive a handful of times, so I know that it is, you know, it is a question mark. Jake, you are wearing the Tower Bridge logo. I love this logo. The Tower Bridge is such an important part of the landscape there. I love, like, I kind of love bridges just in general. Like, visually, I love them. I think they, you know, they're so interesting architecturally, from a design standpoint. This is a beautiful bridge just outside the ballpark. You can, if you're sitting on the third base side, you can see the bridge. The decision to create a logo, one of the alternate identities for this team, based on that bridge. What is it about the bridge that is such a big part of the team's identity that you would create a logo for it?
Well, what we wanted to do was really focus on something that really was very Sacramento. You know, we were looking to do a small redesign at the time, and our president Chip Maxson had talked about how we sort of had about five colors in our original logo. And so as we were going through, we really wanted to say, hey, what is iconic to Sacramento? Like, when you see the skyline of Sacramento, what is one thing that you always see? And what kept coming back to us was the bridge, and the fact that you could see it from our third base side, as well as the fact that it was reflected in our original logo. So that was really important to us, to have that in the redesign or the new logo that we were coming out with, something that was very Sacramento at the time. As you see Dinger, it blurred out over my shoulder here. I'm joined a little cameo there, but
Dinger is walking around behind you during this recording here. That's amazing.
Dinger walking around, and as many people will say, Dinger is truly the one that runs the show here. And I wish I would have had my background not blurred, because you would have been able to see he's wearing the Sactown orange jersey on, you know, just goes to exactly what we're saying. But to get back to that bridge, like I said, we're looking to just connect more with the fan base. And like I said, the Tower Bridge was something that is close to us, both in proximity and just close to our hearts as Sacramentans. You know, it's Sacramentonians. Not sure, but it's something very iconic to the city. And so it was something we knew that we just had to incorporate.
We brought that downstairs too, in our storefronts, concession stands. We own all of our concessions. A lot of teams go through a third party. And there's also handfuls of teams that own their own concessions. What that's allowed us to do is redesign all of the storefronts. And so we have about seven of them here, and every single one is themed out for Sacramento. So, for example, we're talking about the bridge logo right now. We've got a storefront called The Bridges, and above it, it has a painting, an artwork of the famous Golden Gate with San Francisco, and then our famous bridge, the Tower Bridge as well, in the painting. Cadillac Diner is another one. A lot of people don't know this, but part of the movie Pink Cadillac was filmed here in Sacramento. So everything has been themed out. It kind of went along with kind of the redevelopment or the development of that bridge logo as well. And we carried it through into some of the artwork we have on our concourse.
Now, I'm waiting for a crossover here where you take the Sactown orange and the bridge logo and they paint the bridge orange, because I know that the color of the bridge has been actually something of a big deal in Sacramento, that there's a history of the city, you know, voting on what color it should be painted, and that it was the current like bright yellow was kind of controversial when that was introduced. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember what year that was though, but yeah, I do remember that being a pretty big deal. And I don't have enough knowledge to tell you how they settled on the color for that. I do know when the sun hits it right during our night games, when it's setting like that, it does create somewhat of an orange tint to it sometimes as well. So if we get lucky enough, that bridge, yeah, it's more of that gold color now, but when the sun hits it right, it can cast a little bit more of an orange tint.
I found the article that I wrote for sportslogos.net. I wrote this article back in 2017 when this logo was unveiled. So the bridge was built in 1935, and it was ochre in the 1970s, and then painted in 2002, its current color gold, as determined by a vote by residents. So I think that this brand equity that the team now has in Sacramento, I think we use that to force another vote and paint the bridge orange.
Let's see if we can push that here, huh? Talk to Chip about that.
We'll get the Baseball by Design social media on this and help make that happen. I actually was in Sacramento during the offseason at one point after that logo was unveiled, and we drove to the ballpark just so I could get that Tower Bridge logo cap there. I called to make sure that they had the dad hat, which that's what I wear. You see him on the wall behind me here. You know, one of my favorite things about that Tower Bridge logo is that you all did an ice cream helmet with the Tower Bridge logo on it. I've got one in the collection out there, and it's one of my favorites. It's a prized possession in the Helmet Sunday collection. Do you do Helmet Sundays with any of your other alternates?
I don't believe we do. Not a bad idea. I mean, if it works, we'll take the credit. If it doesn't, we'll blame it on you.
Listen, I'll take that. I'll take the blame.
But we have redesigned our kids area. Our kids area used to be a bunch of inflatables, slides, pitching machines, stuff like that. When we went to the bridge logo, we actually redesigned a couple years after we made it more of a playground. And we have almost like a jungle gym area with a bridge. It's actually the bridge. And so when you look, I think Jake mentioned this before, but when you look from our third base side all the way, you know, across the right field and right center field, you'll see the actual tower bridge. But just below that horizon, you've got our kids' playground as well, which is another version of that, smaller version of the Tower Bridge as well. So it becomes an educational component for our kids too, when they're out there, and getting them aligned with what Sacramento is all about.
So we talked about where the Cats came from, that came from the fan vote, and it was, you know, not an uncommon name for a team. I grew up going to Villanova Wildcat basketball games, so I know. On the other hand, I went to Richmond, the University of Richmond in Virginia, and we were the Richmond Spiders. So I also know about unique nicknames. But but the river, you know, you pointed out that ballpark is at the confluence of two rivers. One of them is the Sacramento River, the longest river in California, and obviously it goes right through the heart of the city. I'm curious to know how much, you know, the river is part of the name. How much does the river factor into the identity, the team's activities? Is there any direct relationship that the team actually has with that river that you're sitting right on there?
I think our blue color was put in there, even though it's just an accent color, but as kind of an homage to the fact that we're by this body of water. And it doesn't pop up too much because we're primarily using reds and golds and blacks and whites, but every now and then we do throw in some blue. So it's always there to give you a little reminder of the river part of the name.
We were talking off air about the fact that Sacramento has some baseball history, the Sacramento Solons. What is the team's relationship with that team? What do you all do to honor that history from the team?
Yeah, so we'll do, we have a whole club that's called this the Solon Club here at the ballpark, that was built with the stadium in 2000. Now we've enhanced certain areas. I think it was built without a top to it at first for the first year or two. And then we figured out it's 110 degrees sometimes out here. So we've put a deck, it's a deck out in right field. It's the first professional, you know, team out here in Sacramento. I think Jake mentioned 1908 when we were off air. And so we've turned that into, you know, merchandise as well. We've found that to be a popular, you know, sold item with hats, caps, and shirts as well. You know, if some of the players are still around here, I know since I've been here, I know we've had a couple of players come on out and, you know, throw out the first pitch. But it's, we try to, in fact, there's a mural up there of the Solons, the players, of what they looked like when they played in their uniform and then what they look like now, obviously older, but there's a mural that was built with the stadium that is in that Solon club. And it was funny. We sold a sponsorship to Jack Daniels 1 year to sponsor that area. And I got a call from Brown Foreman, who oversees Jack Daniels, and they thought they were buying advertising into a Solon
club. Oh no.
And I had to correct them and say, well, first of all, it's not spelled the same. And I had to educate them on exactly what the Solons were and why that area existed.
What is a Solon? What does that word mean?
I believe it's a political term. And obviously, you know, being in the capital of Sacramento, Solon is that term that pays tribute to that. So I believe it's some sort of like a lawgiver is okay. What like I was told. Yeah.
Wasn't it like a 50s term for almost like senator or something along those lines? Yep. So that tied into the Capitol as well.
Yep.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I feel like I have a lot to explore now when I get back out to a River Cats game. Like I said, I've been to a couple, but it's been a few years. Sounds like there's been some changes, certainly some new brands since I was last there. So that'll be fun for me to check out. And who knows, maybe those brands will show up on an ice cream helmet to augment the collection.
We will make things happen for you, Paul. Don't you worry.
Amazing. Well, I really appreciate you all hopping on. I really enjoy this group conversation here too. This is such a fun way to talk about this brand. So much going on with the River Cats for sure. Where can people find you all? Where can people find the River Cats on social media and online?
Yeah, you can find us on all of the major social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter/X, as it's now known, Instagram. They each have slightly different handles, but more or less, if you just search at Rivercast, you should be able to find us, come up pretty much everywhere. I should also throw out, because I know I've got my intern sitting next to me, if I did not throw out our TikTok channel, he would be a little upset. I hear him clapping right now. So go find us on TikTok at Rivercats.
Awesome. And I thought maybe Dinger would chime in again here, but I guess not. So that's this has been a ton of fun, and I hope to see you all soon at the ballpark.
Sounds good.
You too, Paul. I'd love to have you out.
Thank you
there,
for
Paul.
Having us. No, really appreciate it.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Once again, very pleased to have Ranger Amy Burnett on the Baseball by Design podcast. Hey, Ranger Amy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're here talking about the Sacramento River Cats. You know I love talking about minor league baseball logos.
Yes,
and so
you do.
You are Ranger Amy Burnett. You are our wildlife correspondent. You are here to tell us about this cat. My question to you, when we talked about this interview, my question to you was, what are we looking at here? What kind of cat is a river cat?
It took me a while to figure out what kind of cat the river cat was, and this is my theory, and the River Cat folks can tell me if I'm wrong, but
okay,
Dinger the mascot is gray with a white blaze down his face.
Dinger the mascot. Okay,
go look.
Well, let's call up Dinger the mascot. That's a purple dinosaur. Wrong Dinger. Now we got Dinger the Sacramento River Cats logo mascot up here.
Yeah, you have to be careful when you're googling things about baseball, because I googled cougars in the Sacramento, got a whole bunch of dive bars.
Oh, dive bars. Okay, I've googled the same.
What? So Dinger is a white blaze on his face, and it's a gray cat.
Okay.
So
what does that tell us?
Dinger, the mascot for the Sacramento River Cats, is a domestic kitty cat.
They're an invasive species.
They really are. They kill millions and millions of birds every year.
So really, Dinger the mascot should not be allowed outside.
No, he should not. Please keep your cats inside.
Keep your river cat mascots inside.
They will live a lot longer. Speaking of cats, did you know that black cats are the least likely to get adopted? Black cats, dark cats, and older cats. are least likely to get adopted from shelters.
So the fact that I took in a 14-year-old black cat means that I am not very picky.
I thought you were going to say that you're a hero.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
I was going in a whole different place. Anyway.
All right. So, but let's look at this logo here then, because, you know, we've got two different versions of the logo where this cat is looking pretty ferocious, and the logo itself, he's got kind of a, like a goatee here going too. Yeah. So,
well, you know, people have died by getting, you know, cat scratch fever, right? It's a real thing.
I don't know what that is. What is cat scratch fever?
Cat fingernails are super, super gross and have a lot of bacteria. Okay. You can get super bad infections from cats.
A lot of wildlife experts would refer to cat fingernails as claws. So here he is, or she, here is this cat lunging forward with a baseball in its paw. Does that paw give you any indication? Like, look at the size of the paw holding the baseball.
Yeah, but it's kind of like when guys hold a fish close to the camera. It's an optical illusion. Like, it makes their claws look bigger, so in their whole hand. So this is actually just a kitty cat. It's a ferocious kitty cat. I mean, yeah. You've seen your cat when she's, you know, if you pat her wrong, you know, you're going to pay for it.
Right.
So domestic cats, they're no joke. They can be pretty ferocious. So yeah. I'm saying that the river cats themselves, they can be pretty formidable opponent. They could probably take on the grizzlies, and that's their arch rival.
For a long time, when they were at the same classification, the Fresno Grizzlies and the Sacramento River Cats had a fierce, fierce rivalry. The poor Fresno Grizzlies demoted to...
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah, they're not really rivals anymore.
Say this, now you're calling me out of my lack of baseball knowledge, but... I know that they were at one point rivals.
I do expect everyone in my life to know the full history of every minor league franchise and their classifications and affiliations.
You know, when I was thinking, okay, so Sacramento River Cats could be referring to mountain lions. So the Mountain Lion Foundation is actually based out of Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
And they often have some urban mountain lion sightings on the east side of Sacramento, which is the side closest to the Sierra Nevada Mountains.
So what tells us whether this is, you know, could potentially be a mountain lion? What disqualifies this cat from being a mountain lion?
For me, it's the color. So mountain lions are a tawny gray, which is basically the color of your walls right now, actually. You can't see this on...
For the listener at home.
It's a podcast.
My walls apparently are the color of a bobcat.
Yeah, think of like the color of an IPA versus the color of Earl Grey tea.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Hot brown water.
This is a long way of getting to the point that the Sacramento litter. This is a
the
long
Sacramento litter box.
Litter box. This is a long way around of getting to the point that the Sacramento River Cat logo is very much a gray cat. Okay. It's like a Russian blue cat. It's a cool color. It's a cool cat. And it's not a warm, neutral color like a mountain lion. Mountain lions are very warm, neutral, brown, tawny color. I would not describe them as gray unless it's, of course, you're in bad lighting. So,
or they're on like one of those like nighttime cameras that they always seem to get caught on, like on like people's front porches and whatnot.
Oh, fun nerdy fact. Different animals have different eye glow colors.
Oh, that is fun
the
nerdy
mountain
fact.
Lion eyes glow green. So if you have like if you're out on your porch in the middle of the night and you're in Sacramento and you see glowing green eyes, that could be mountain lion.
All right. That's well, so there is a As you point out, there is a house cat in this house.
There is.
That I took in when Yodel was 14 years old. And so, you know, I wouldn't want to mess with her. And she was a little freaked out when she first got here because she had sort of a tough life. She was living in a warehouse. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast, but she was living in a warehouse, had been returned to the animal shelter three times, was in the working cat program, and had all sorts of problems, and came back here. And for 5 days... Like, I was terrified of her, right? Like, she would come at me, you know, if I tried to approach her. And then, you know, after 5 days, she curled up on my shoulder and we're best buds ever since.
Yeah. You love that cat.
She's great. She's a great cat.
That is a very cute story. Thank you for telling. Yodel is a good cat. She's 17 now.
Yodel is a good cat coming up on 18, but ferocious.
But very ferocious.
In many ways, you know, certainly when she first got here. So I guess my question for you is, if this cat was intended, and, you know, these, you know, logos are not always intended to be photorealistic. So they may have said, hey, you know, this is a mountain lion, but guess what? It's gray because of logo work here.
So maybe the person who created the logo was not the same person who created the mascot costume. The mascot is very clearly domestic cat. So that's how I decided on what kind of cat this was.
Okay, that's fair. It's a little bit like the Portland Sea Dogs, which listeners of this podcast from way back will know is meant to be a harbor seal, but he's got ears.
Yeah, so that makes him a sea lion.
That makes him a sea lion.
Not a seal.
Not a harbor seal. So like I said, these logos are not always photorealistic.
Oh, we just have an appearance by the wild domestic cat, Yodel.
Yodel is here in the recording studio. So accepting that house cats are like little miniature versions of mountain lions.
Yes.
And guessing that the Sacramento River Cats' intent way back at the turn of the millennium when they, came into existence was not to have a house cat, but to rather have just sort of a generic big cat. In Sacramento, I understand we have mountain lions, right? So let's go with, especially since you are not the domestic animal correspondent, you are the wildlife correspondent.
That I am.
Let's go with the idea that this is intended to be a generic big cat, and a mountain lion is as generic a big cat as you can get. How good would a mountain lion be at playing baseball?
So mountain lion would be a sprinter and a leaper. So in the field, you'd definitely be in the outfield, and he'd be catching those balls that were just about to be a home run.
Okay.
And then where would you need your sprinter? Where would you need your fastest player? Well, I guess your runners, right?
You would have them batting leadoff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so trying to get on base.
Okay.
Sort of the anti-Kyle Schwarber.
So basically the same as a cougar in Sacramento. Trying to get on base.
I see. It took me a second to get there. Okay, so they're fast, they're good jumpers.
So a couple of fun stats for you. They can sprint at speeds of 40 to 50 miles an hour.
Holy smokes.
That is super fast. Now, they're sprinters. They're not long-distance endurance athletes.
Mm-hmm. But most animals are not.
But you don't have to circle a base twice. You only have to circle a base. You only have to get from base to base.
Right.
So mountain lions would actually be excellent base runners.
Yeah. There's not a lot of distance running in baseball.
No, I guess that's why they're not as in good shape as soccer players.
Soccer players are fit, that's for sure.
They are. Moving on. So they can leap 18. These are mountain lions.
Okay.
Not baseball players.
Or soccer players.
Or soccer players. Except that soccer players might be able to do this, but mountain lions can leap 18 feet vertically and 40 to 45 feet horizontally. They can basically leap and steal a base. Wait, how far are the bases apart? The
bases are 90 feet apart.
Okay, so they could leap halfway to the next base.
Okay.
In one jump.
They could steal second base in a single double bound.
In two bounces, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, mountain lions would make actually really great players. So, river cats, folks, just decide. Is it a kitty cat or is it a mountain lion? But either way, both can be very formidable opponents on the field.
How long do you think it would take Yodel to get from first base to second base?
It depends on if there's like canned cat food involved.
That's true.
I've seen her move pretty fast.
She loves her wet food.
Oh, speaking of how cats got domesticated. So cats got domesticated kind of opposite of dogs. So dogs and other domestic animals, livestock that we have, we pretty much bred them. We sort of influence the evolution of these of our pets to serve a purpose. So like dogs are like sheep herders or protection, or they serve a purpose for humans. Well, cats pretty much did the opposite. They believe that cats came over on boats, and because there were a lot of mice on boats.
Mm.
So historians first said, well, people brought these cats on board to eat the mice, and that was a smart thing. Well, now they're just figuring out that cats are opportunists. They slipped on the boats because there were mice there. They don't have any. These were not people like bringing the cats on purpose. These were cats on board going, there's some mice here and I'm going to eat them. And they happened to sort of transport them to other countries. And that's how cats got to where they are and sort of conquered the world.
Cats are stowaways.
They're stealthy. They can't be caged. Mm-hmm. They pretty much do whatever they want. They're not going to follow any orders. They're not bred to do anything specific. They basically are there because they've taken advantage of humans.
I also understand that cats were domesticated far more recently than dogs were.
Yes, that's true.
All right. So in one of these logos in particular, the river cat is looming huge over the Tower Bridge in Sacramento. Yeah, I know. I love that bridge. It's a great bridge. I have run over that bridge many times.
Really?
It's very close to the ballpark. You can see it from the ballpark.
Nice.
And so if you're in Sacramento and you want to put together a little running route, my favorite running routes are along rivers, over bridges, and around baseball parks.
Go figure.
Sacramento is the perfect running town for me.
It's kind of the perfect.
Yeah, and sea level with all that oxygen. So anyway, they play, you know, right downtown. And so obviously these mountain lions, these river cats.
Yeah, river cats.
Are, you know, they're in the city. They're in the heart of the city.
They are.
So how's a river cat going to end up in the city?
That's a good question. So a couple years ago, a mountain lion went through Citrus Heights, which is like any of you from Sacramento listening to this, you know exactly where that is. It's pretty close to the mountains on the Sierra Nevada. So it's the east side of Sacramento County. So what happens with mountain lions? The mother raises the cubs until they're about 18 months old, and then she kicks them out and they have to go on their own.
And they become White Sox.
So once they're on their own, they bump into a whole bunch of other mountain lions' territories. And so they're like, hey, get out of my territory. So mountain lions have to find their own territory, and they get, and in their search for their own territory, they end up sometimes in urban areas. That's what happens. These mountain lions are not intending to ever stay there, but while they're there, can they find deer that are hanging out close to cemeteries and places where people aren't allowed to hunt, like in suburbs? So they're not going for people's cats and dogs like people think. Those are bobcats and coyotes, and they're much more capable of doing that. But the mountain lions are just snagging deer that are running through the urban areas that are pretty much protected from hunting. So that's why they're there, and they're not going to stay. They go back up to the mountains. They have a home range of between 30 and 75 miles. So they're just visiting. They're not there to stay, and people freak out when it happens. So if you're listening to this and you see a mountain lion in your neighborhood and you're on your Ring camera, don't freak out. It's just passing through. It's just visiting.
Ranger Amy Burnett, Baseball by Designs wildlife correspondent, thank you so much for educating us on river cats, kitty cats, Yodel the cat, bobcats, mountain lions.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
Follow Ranger Amy on Twitter at Ranger Amy, and on Instagram at The Real Ranger Amy. All right, everyone, welcome back. It is time once again for Studio Simon Stumpers with designer extraordinaire Dan Simon. You can find Dan and his work online at studiosimon.net and on Instagram at studio_Simon. We always forget to say that at the end of the episode, so I'm making sure we get it in here early. Go follow Dan on social media and check out his website. Dan, good morning. Hello, how are you?
I am fantastic, Paul. I thank you for asking, and I ask you, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. The Sacramento River Cats were one of the early minor league baseball experiences for me. I remember going there sort of in the mid-2000s-ish, and I did not have a lot of minor league baseball under my belt at that point. So this was one of my early experiences with seeing minor league baseball, and I've been back a couple of times. It's a beautiful ballpark, and Sacramento is a cool town. Tower Bridge is cool. The ballpark is nice. And, you know, that the nickname River Cats, as, you know, we established in the episode, the Sacramento River is right there. It's the biggest river in California. And cats, because cats is a cool nickname, I guess.
Okay, well, something you just said is a perfect segue into today's Studio Simon Stumpers. So let's jump right into it. So it's no surprise, even if you have not listened to this episode, that Sacramento is a river city. But you just mentioned one river. This is the appetizer stumper. Okay. This is not the full-on stumper. It's just a little taste.
So not officially a double stumper. This is sort of like a stumper teaser, and then the main stumper.
Yes, that okay. is. Okay. Because there's not. For it to be an official double stumper, you need to have a choice of B and C.
This is the stumper opener. It's the stumpener.
Okay. Here's the stumpener. Okay. So you mentioned the Sacramento River.
Yeah.
But actually, Sacramento is located at the confluence of two rivers.
Yeah.
So in addition to the Sacramento River, do you know what the second river is?
I I may have even actually said it out loud in the previous segment, and I can't conjure it right now. So in deference to my Pennsylvania roots, I'm going to say Susquehanna. Even though that's on the other side of the country.
You're close. The river in question has some of the same letters in its name. So the Sacramento is located at the confluence of the Sacramento and the American River.
The American River. It's possible I actually said American River right out loud in the previous segment, because I think that I named it in the Sports Logos article that I wrote about the River Cats way back when. Couldn't conjure it right now.
Well, if you didn't say it, I urge you to go back and edit it in. Okay. So Sacramento is known as a river city. It's also known for other things. For instance, it is the capital of the state. Jay, but I don't know which state it's in. No, of course, it's the capital of the state of California. It's also known as the farm to fork capital. It's farm to table scene, if that's the right word for it, is apparently a big thing that they promote there.
Okay.
But it's known for other things as well. And with that in mind, our studio Simon Stumper today asks, what does Sacramento have more of per capita than anywhere else in the world?
Okay.
Is it A, tomatoes, B, bars, and when I say bars, drinking establishments,
okay,
or C, trees?
Tomatoes, now, bars, or trees?
Now, for you listeners, I am looking at Paul. He does not know the answer to this. We recently did a stumper where he knew the answer right away. Paul is in full sus mode right now.
Well, and I'll tell you, hopefully Range Ramey is not listening right now, but I had a long-term relationship with someone who, when we started dating, lived in Sacramento. And so I used to visit Sacramento fairly regularly, and she worked at the California State Railroad Museum. And I actually was hoping you were going to ask something about railroads, because I would have known the answer to that. Tomatoes, bars, or trees? I genuinely don't know the answer. I know that agriculture is big in that part of the country, so tomatoes feels like a possibility. I don't recall that there were like a bajillion bars there necessarily, like just from, I'm just picturing the downtown and picturing walking around. I don't recall bars being the answer. And I can't imagine that trees is the answer, because, you know, I would think a more forested area like the Northeast, somewhere in the Northeast, feels like it would have more trees per capita than would Sacramento. So I'm thinking tomatoes or bars, and I do know that agriculture is important there. I'm going to go tomatoes for that reason.
Well, I'm going to go a little out of order here. I'm not going to tell you if we're right or wrong yet. Let's go through this.
Okay.
Potential answer B, bars. I would imagine Sacramento has its fair share of bars, but it's not known for that. The reason I put that in is because years ago, I remember reading that Pittsburgh had more bars per capita than any city in the United States. And for whatever reason, that really stuck with me, because it just seemed like a really random thing. Plus, it made me wonder, well, I wonder why they have so many bars there.
I read once that Philadelphia has more 5-star restaurants per capita than any city in America.
Okay. So that's why I even brought bars in as a possible answer, but no, okay, that's not what they were known for.
Okay.
Now, Sacramento, one of its nicknames is the Big Tomato. If they have more tomatoes per capita than anywhere else in the world, I don't know that that's been quantified. So, Paul, I'm sorry, that's not the answer.
Not the answer.
The answer is, surprisingly, trees.
Huh.
One of Sacramento's nicknames is the City of Trees.
Huh.
Interestingly, it was not always so. It actually used to be called, as a nickname, the City of Plains, because of its lack of trees. But in the 1800s, they started a concerted effort of planting all manner of trees, cottonwoods, eucalyptus, locust trees, willows, elms, palm trees, fruit trees, etc. And in 1978, it was the first U.S. city to be designated a city of trees by the Arbor Day Foundation. Now, if that's not something you can hang your hat on, I don't know what is. So there you go. Sacramento yeah. for its trees. And so you've been there, I would assume.
Multiple times.
Okay. And you don't remember it being especially well-treed?
I do not recall that Sacramento was well-treed. I also don't remember a preponderance of tomatoes either. So, you know, what I remember is sort of cobblestone streets. And I remember like old-timey saloons. I actually thought about the bar's answer because there were like on the sort of main sort of pedestrian touristy area near the railroad museum and along the river, there are a number of sort of like old-timey saloons. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe bars is the answer for that reason, but it just didn't ring true to me. And the only reason I went tomatoes is just, I imagined a northeastern city in a more forested area. I thought like Portland, Maine might be the most trees per capita or something like that, right? Because just, you know, the Northeast, I associate it with the forests. I did not think that was going to be the answer. So, you know, that's why I love this segment. I love learning a thing. And this has been, you know, fun for me because I like Sacramento very much as a city and fun to talk about one of my early sort of minor league baseball experiences. Now I know that Sacramento is the city of trees and has more trees per capita than any city in America.
Okay. As I've said before, the things you learn on the Baseball by Design podcast.
Dan, thank you so much. We will be back next week with another Studio Simon Stumper. We'll see you next week.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. See you then.